I want to tell you about a podcast you should check out. It's called Understood Explains. This season of the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. The latest season of Understood Explains covers topics like how to tell if your child needs an IEP, and it busts common myths about special education. As a parent myself of a child who's had an IEP since kindergarten and he's now a 10th grader, I know how confusing, overwhelming, frustrating, sometimes daunting the whole process can be. I checked out an episode of Understood Explains called The Difference Between IEPs and 504 Plans. And what I love about it is how easily Juliana explains everything. She answers common questions that probably every parent or caregiver has. She dispels myths and is concise and to the point. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. And there's a direct link in the show notes if you need it.
This is such like a like wake self-awareness, almost wake up call. And I love having this conversation with you.
You're listening to Make Some Noise Podcast, episode number 394. Welcome to Make Some Noise Podcast, your guide for strategies, tools, and insight to empower yourself. I'm your host, Andrea Owen, global speaker, entrepreneur, life coach since 2007, and author of 3 books that have been translated into 18 languages and are available in 22 countries. Each week, I'll bring you a guest or a lesson that will help you maximize unshakable confidence, master resilience, and make some noise in your life. You ready? Let's go. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the podcast. I am so glad that you are here. I've been so excited to do this intro for this particular show because this is the day I get to tell you that we are looking for your stories. I've mentioned it a couple episodes past that it's coming and it's officially ready for you to come and leave us a voicemail. And okay, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. So we are looking for your stories, specifically how you are making noise in your life or how you have made noise in your life. So maybe you asked for a raise or a promotion at work. Maybe you set a boundary with someone and you were terrified to do it and you did it anyway. Maybe you quit a habit like over drinking or something else that wasn't serving you. You had to muster up the courage to take big action, you know, giving your opinion, changing your relationship with money, your self-confidence has grown somehow. So these don't have to be, you know, big things where you took action and it's tangible. This can be the inner work as well. So for instance, if you, did some, trauma therapy and EMDR and you were able to go and date again or have a hard conversation with a parent, or as I mentioned, you know, your self-confidence grew over a handful of years or something like that. We just want to hear how you're making noise. And the reason is that I would love to share these stories on the show. And you listeners are such a major part of this show, and I want to honor your voices and honor your stories. We need to hear more women's stories. AndreaOwen.com/talk. All of the guidelines are on there. The step-by-step instructions, super easy. You just click a button and start recording. And I can't wait. I can't wait to hear your stories and play them here on the show. And the reasoning is it's all around the theme of making noise. My new book is called Make Some Noise, Speak Your Mind and Own Your Strength. Comes out August 31st. We're very excited about that. And this is one of the things that we're doing to celebrate, is gathering your stories and putting them together for probably a handful of podcast episodes. It's more to come on how we're going to roll that out. And I just can't wait. I can't wait. Thank you for taking the time to do that. And again, AndreaOwen.com/talk. And we have a coaching episode for you today. Hannah is here on the show, and I'm just so grateful that you apply to be on the show and come on and have conversations with me. And you will hear us have this conversation and me coach her a little bit around it. And then at the very end, stick around because I have an update for you and how Hannah's homework went. All right. So without further ado, here is the conversation I had with Hannah. Hannah, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited that you're here. And this topic that you brought was so great, and I cannot wait to jump in. But before we do, and before we get to the good stuff, can you please tell the listeners, tell us where you're from and what you do for a living?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am from Nebraska, and I just transitioned from working in nonprofit to corporate America.
Can you tell us how old you are? Because I think that might kind of directly relate to our conversation.
Oh, without a doubt. I recently just turned 25.
25. Okay. So a young woman, and congratulations on a quarter of a century, big 25. And I am going to just jump into the deep end. And you and I chatted before, a few weeks ago about what the specific topic is that you wanted some support with. And it was mostly around the umbrella of perfectionism. So the way you worded it to me is you said, I feel as if I'm wrestling with perfectionism constantly. These are your words. And then you went on to say there is a lot of negative self-talk. So I'm going to continue with what you had said on your application. And then I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about it. So you went on to say, I'm hoping to find new motivation to move forward. I'm hoping for insight as to why I used to have big dreams and now feel unmotivated and stuck. So tell us more about that.
Oh, without a doubt. I used to have so many big dreams and things I wanted to get done in life. And I feel like that got crushed, a lot of it, by me feeling like everything I'm doing is not enough. You know, I'm an imposter. I'm not trying hard enough. Last year, right when the pandemic started, I actually was fired from my first real job due to health reasons, which was, absolutely crushed me. And I think ever since that happened, it's been really hard to pick myself back up and remain motivated to do everything I want to achieve in life.
Okay. So just so I'm going to gather a little bit more information. So you lost your job. Was it around like March or April of last year?
I lost my job in June. Severe health issues. So that was very hard on me.
Okay. And so it wasn't because of your performance at work. It was because something that was out of your control, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But I still took it still personally.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Tell us more about the perfectionism that you struggle with and the negative self-talk.
It feels like, especially in a work setting, no matter what I'm doing, how many hours I'm putting in, how hard I'm working, that, it's not enough. Somebody is going to realize that, I'm a fraud. I don't know what I'm doing, especially in kind of today's environment where we're working from home. Especially in the new job I've started, I feel like even if I'm working my 8 hours a day, I'm going to get questioned like, she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing. She's not doing this right. Honestly, feeling unqualified for the jobs that I do have.
Okay. So tell me, I'm curious as to the connection between feeling that way and then also, it seems like it's obvious, but I just want to make sure that I'm not missing anything. Like your struggle with perfectionism and the negative self-talk and then the motivation to move forward. So I'm curious about the stuckness feeling that you have. Like, what does that actually look like in your day-to-day or week-to-week life?
So now that I've started this new job, trying to kind of progress my career forward, I've created some new goals, such as like climbing the corporate ladder, because I'm no longer in like the career field I originally started in, which was more nonprofit work. And I've done therapy. I love self-help, motivation. But, the goals I set, to me, they seem unachievable. And I feel like I don't have a ton of motivation to work towards them. Like I do my job, I do what I'm supposed to do. But even in everyday life, even outside of work, just trying my absolute best and showing up for myself, I feel like that's such a big struggle. And I'm aware that I'm not always showing up for myself and being the best that I can be.
Do you feel like your goals that you have, are they absolutely and truly goals that you want to do?
I think for the time being, yes, because I think my whole being 25 and being young, you know, your life changes, your perspective on what you want in life absolutely changes. My original goals, going to college, I studied criminal justice. I got my bachelor's and master's in that, was to work with victims of sexual assault and sexual abuse, mm-hmm. and to really advocate for women and advocate for policy change. And I've had such a drive towards helping people. And that drive, I feel like, is completely gone now. And I can't figure out why or what I can do to get that back.
Okay. Because I have something that's like tapping me on the shoulder. Not literally, there's no one else in the room. Just this feeling that so tell me a little bit about the job that you lost, that nonprofit. Was that more in alignment with those goals that you just talked about?
Partially, yes. It was a nonprofit where we were advocating for children in foster care. And truthfully, when I look back on that job, it took me a while to realize it. I wasn't crazy about it and I wasn't happy there. And so I do believe getting fired was a blessing. Right. But I feel like that was working more towards helping people and aligned more with what I want to do.
Okay. Again, just gathering a little bit more information because I'm trying to kind of parse it down to the issue. So the perfectionism and I know we're talking about your career specifically because you're feeling unmotivated in it, but the perfectionism and negative self-talk, is it mostly in your career? Because you said, I struggle with perfectionism constantly. So does that mean it bleeds out into the other areas of your life?
Oh, every aspect of my life. Okay. You know, I want to do everything perfect. And I feel like no matter what I do, whether it's work, home, social life, it's never enough.
Is there any diagnosed or undiagnosed anxiety or depression happening?
I have been diagnosed with both. Currently don't require or need treatment, I don't believe. But
okay. Okay. How do you manage, like, let's talk specifically about your anxiety.
I like to spend a lot of time in nature. Obviously in Nebraska, that gets very hard, especially in the winter. We're finally warming up, so it gets a bit better. But I spend so much time outdoors, walking my dog, doing yoga, exercising. Any physical activity really seems to help me ease that anxiety.
Okay. It sounds to me, and I don't want to go immediately into problem solving, but I feel like, let me take off my coach hat for a second and put my mom hat on. And it sounds like what might be happening is a couple of things. There's might be a little bit of burnout, which comes from probably going when you were in college and getting your degree. And then in that job, which sounds mentally and emotionally exhausting working, doing that kind of, it was a helping profession really is what you were doing. And then the bottom dropped out with the pandemic and then losing your job and having those health issues. Like on paper, like looking at that list of things, it sounds like the perfect recipe for burnout. What do you think?
You know, I would agree with that. I actually thought about it and I'm like, am I burned out? But now that it's been almost close to a year, I'm trying to figure out how long does it take to get through that and what else can I do to move past that?
Yeah. And it's sort of on the forefront of my brain recently. And I've mentioned it here on the show before. I recently read the book Burnout by Emily and Amelia Nagoski. And it's, I recommend it unless you have a huge list of books that you're already reading. I don't want to add more to your plate, but it's in the first or second chapter, they talk about the stress cycle. And I love this book because they talk about the science behind it. And by the way, burnout is a lot more common in people than we think. And I can't remember how they talked about it or what the research says, but it's extremely common in women because we tend to be the doers or what they have coined human giver syndrome, which is so incredibly telling. And it's, again, very, very common. And the signs of what you're telling me are definitely pointing to that. And that's why I was asking you, you know, what are you doing to take care of yourself? And there are tons of strategies that I could give you around negative self-talk and dealing with perfectionism. And I give a ton of those in, especially in my second book, How to Stop Feeling Like Shit. But I hesitate to throw that at you because I feel like we might be stepping over the real foundational part of helping you with this. And that is just the basics of taking care of yourself.
Oh, without a doubt. I think self-care is very important. I think that's probably a basic concept I should pay a little more attention to.
Trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, maybe for Mother's Day, but feeling overwhelmed? Finding a unique gift that they'll love, that's personal and that they won't already have, can be the ultimate challenge. That's why I'm so excited I've discovered Songfinch. It's an amazing, thoughtful gift, and it's easy and fun to make. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. I had Songfinch make me a song about my dad, which was a gift to myself. This was such a personal song for me, and I was a little skeptical the artist could capture the emotion I wanted. But during the process, they have you share some personal details about your relationship with the person you're creating the song for. Then a Songfinch musician of your choice, you get to pick based on samples they have, will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days. I love my song so much. I was so emotional when I listened to it. I had no changes. It's perfect. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/noise and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, my URL is songfinch.com/noise. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/noise. There's definitely been times in my life where my paycheck ran out before I got paid again, and I wish I could have accessed my next paycheck a few days before I was due to get it. Well, what if I told you that can happen with Earnin? Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. You can use Earnin for anything you need to, therapy visits, rent, or even extra self-help books. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. It gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Noise under podcast when you sign up. It really helps the show. Noise under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Okay, so besides spending some time in nature, which you just mentioned is super hard in the wintertime, and we're recording this in spring, so it's kind of, you know, getting a little bit better, but what else do you do to take care of yourself?
I like to take baths. I try to spend some time with some friends. Unfortunately, I don't know if I have a full support group of women in my area who I can go to with problems or people who are fully supportive of me in that aspect. And I do think that's a huge drawback, is not having a community of women who I feel comfortable with to deal with life's problems with.
Do you have any like local friends there, local girlfriends?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And I know COVID has really thrown a wrench in social get-togethers, but are they like on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being, you know, your quote unquote soul sister, how close are you to this person or these people?
You know, I feel like the majority of the friends I have out here are Friday night drinking friends. Okay. I have a few girlfriends I can go to if I did have, you know, need help, need that girl time. And there's a few friendships that I'm really working on like cultivating that with, but I don't know if I'm fully there yet.
All right. I'm interested in these
girlfriends that, because with the thing with friendships is, and the reason that I'm sort of honing in on this just as a sidebar is I fully believe that our female friendships truly, truly can fill the needs that we have that we might not even know that we need. You know, at your age, it hasn't been that long since you've left your parents' home and were, you know, quote unquote parented. And then you're thrust into adulthood. And many times, like, we don't know how to parent ourselves. And we have to learn that through our own self-growth and through therapy and reading all the books and things like that. It's not really something our parents set us up for in many cases. And our friendships, you know, in my experience and the experience of many women, our 20s are a time for us finding out who we are, what we're made of, making mistakes and learning from them. And friendships can be a little complicated because a lot of the times we don't come with the tools to, like you were saying, like cultivate and nurture these friendships. So I am such a huge fan of giving people the tools to be able to have these beautiful, nurturing, supportive, reciprocal friendships. And it might feel awkward to have like these vulnerable conversations with our friends, like, hey, you know, I'd love to take this friendship to the next level type of thing. Not that I'm asking you to say that, but again, just as kind of a side note, I wanted to talk to you about the reason that I'm pushing the importance of it on there, because this has the ability to be a huge part of your path for self-care, which then in turn will help you struggle around the issues of perfectionism and feeling motivated and negative self-talk. Does that all make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. There's a method to the madness. I'm just letting you know. Okay. So back to this question, tell me about these friendships that you're working on cultivating. What does that look like?
So I have a group of friends that, you know, met them through a job I had previously and met a bunch of girls through there. A lot of it is just weekend hangouts with our significant others at the bar. There's a couple of girls specifically who I really get along with them. We can go out and do things that don't involve getting absolutely plastered, which I think is huge, especially for my age. That's kind of what everybody goes out and does.
Right.
So I do have that, but I feel like I haven't met, you know, or cultivated that friendship where it's like that person, my go-to person who's always, there are those go-to girls who I can discuss anything with. And I think a lot of it is a personal thing where maybe I don't put myself out there and I don't like being vulnerable. I'm trying to work on that. But it's been a big struggle for me to fully find those people where I want to, you know, open up to, let them know, like, look, I'm struggling, or this is my current problem.
Tell me more about what you mean when you said, I don't know if it's personal. Because you kept explaining and I wasn't sure if that's what you were covering or was that something else?
I meant personal, like a personal problem. Am I the one not doing enough to cultivate these good friendships? And I do know that I'm very good at self-isolating myself and maybe not reaching out to people when I need to. I'm probably the worst when it comes to contacting people, responding to texts, making plans. I lack that initiative. So I do know I have responsibility in the fact that I lack these close friendships because I'm not putting my best foot forward to try and have them.
Right. Which, I mean, I just want to acknowledge is really normal. It is very, like you said, it's very vulnerable and feels hugely risky to put yourself out there and especially to reach out for help and say, hey, I'm really struggling. Do you have 15 minutes to FaceTime or something like that? So I say that because if you're beating yourself up for not being this go-getter with new friendships, you are certainly not alone. This is so common, no matter how old a person is, it can be extremely daunting. So I always say, you know, just one step at a time, one friend at a time. Is there anyone that you have in mind as we're having this conversation that you think might have potential to be a really great friend?
Oh, absolutely. I have my two sweet friends, Hannah and Courtney. I get along with them so well, and I know I can talk to them about absolutely anything if needed. Again, I lack that initiative to reach out when I need a friend or discuss my issues with them.
Okay. So how would you feel if I gave you the assignment? And I want to co-create this with you. So if you have kind of a counter offer that you want to put your input, I am more than willing to negotiate this assignment with you. You know yourself best. But I do want it to be, you know, at least somewhat out of your comfort zone. So Hannah and Courtney, and how do you feel about either having a conversation with them about this, or even like having them listen to this podcast episode, or writing them a handwritten card? And just, it might be twofold. So it might be you expressing your gratitude for their friendship. And it might say something like, you know, friendships are super important to me. And I'm so glad that I have found someone who gets me. And I just wanted to write you this note to tell you how much I appreciate you. And then also you say, I would love to be the person that you reach out to when you're really struggling. And I would love to be that person for you, or something like that. Like, what do you think about that assignment?
I think I can handle it. I mean, a little out of my comfort zone, but nothing good ever comes out of staying in your comfort zone.
That's true. Look at you, Hannah, coaching yourself. Okay. All right. So reach out to, and what kind of correspondence do you prefer?
Either a text message, a handwritten letter, either or for me.
Okay. I always feel like handwritten letters or cards are the best. And we so don't do that very often. It's such a lost art. And greeting cards are expensive now. So I think it's a more special way of expressing yourself and communicating, because we send text messages all the time. And I'm asking you to have it be something that's slightly out of the ordinary so that it is more special to them.
Oh, I completely agree. I think a handwritten note can go a long way. And that's something I think I would love to do.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that you would love to do that. And how do you think that they're going to respond?
Yeah, I think they might love it. We get along very, very well. We talk relatively often, see each other relatively often. We've talked often about, you know, doing things that don't involve drinking and going to the bar and having activities and friendships outside of that. So I think it would really, you know, kind of hit home for them.
Like, I'm just kind of giving you sort of the step-by-step process of what it might look like. And just a side note, again, like, this is, you know, John Gottman's work. He talks about trust building in relationships, and this is both for romantic relationships and friendships. And he says that trust is built in small increments over time. And this is exactly what this is. I mean, it might be a seemingly small and kind of innocuous thing to do, like, oh, you know, great, send somebody a card. That's just revolutionary. And it really is. It genuinely is, to take the time to write someone a note and be thoughtful about it, are these small increments of trust between the friendship. And then my next step, what I was going to say before, is that you, you know, listen, if you need to have a couple drinks before you have this conversation, I'm not going to say you're wrong for it, but have you heard of The Five Love Languages, that book?
No, I have not.
Okay. The author's name is escaping me right now, but it has been in print forever and ever. It's a short book, and there's all kinds of different spinoffs around the five love languages, but it started out, I'm pretty sure that it was based more for relationships. And it categorizes these five ways that everyone likes to be loved or have their partner show them how they love them. So it's things like gifts or acts of service, words of affirmation, quality time. And we have love languages, you know, with our romantic relationships, but we also have them in our friendships, and they may or may not be the same as they are in our romantic relationships. And it might be an interesting conversation to have that with your girlfriends. Like, how do they like to be shown that someone else cares about them?
I love that concept. I absolutely love that concept.
Yeah. And you might want to buy the book. I don't know for sure. I'll find out after we get off the phone if they make a 5 love languages for friendships, but it might be fun to just like get the book and say, I read this book. It's a little corny, and you know, or my life coach told me to get it. You can throw me under the bus if you want to, and ask them, you know, like, what makes you feel like you are being supported in a friendship?
And I think that's huge, because that's something I guess I don't know about my friends and they don't know about me, of how I need to be supported or how they need to be supported. And I think knowing how somebody likes to feel loved and feel supported, that's so important.
I want to circle back with you about finding the motivation to move forward. We were talking about burnout, and again, I don't want to completely step over that. And I do think that the first thing that needs to happen is you taking care of yourself. And, you know, Emily and Amelia Nagoski talk about closing the stress cycle. And when people are in burnout, they need to do something that helps them close that stress cycle. What we just talked about is one of their chapters about connection and friendships and things like that. And they also talk about physical activity, and it's basically about taking care of yourself. But let's kind of, you know, pull up 10,000 feet and look at the kind of meta situation, the meta view, and look at your motivation. What are your expectations? Like, what are you expecting your life to look like in terms of how you feel about the future?
You know, I just want to be happy. I want to feel motivated, and I want to be driven. I used to have big goals, again, as I said, of working with victims of sexual assault and sexual abuse. As somebody who has been a victim of that and has went through hell dealing with that, I was so passionate and so on fire about working with women who have dealt with that. And I don't know what happened within the past year and a half, especially after losing my job, why that drive to help everybody and help women and be such a strong advocate was completely gone. I mean, I went to school for 6 years for this, and I know so many people don't use their degree necessarily, mm-hmm. but like the inner feeling I have and why I did it, I feel like that's so important. And so my goal, maybe if that's not what I do with my career, which I think is fine, but my goal is to still have that drive to be so passionate about that topic and want to help people.
Okay.
I'm Margaret.
And I'm Amy.
And together we host the podcast, What Fresh Hell? Laughing in the Face of Motherhood.
Margaret, I would say you're sort of a where are my keys kind of mom.
Correct. Sometimes a where are my kids kind of mom. Well, you're, Amy, more of a we were supposed to leave 35 seconds ago, mom.
I mean, touche. In each episode of What Fresh Hell, we come at a topic from our usually completely opposite perspectives. I bring the research.
And I bring kind of the gimlet eye. Like, is that research really going to work, people?
And almost 10 million downloads later, we're still laughing.
We also talk to experts in the parenting field, plus parents with stories we can all learn from.
We make each other laugh, we challenge each other's assumptions, and we have what we think is the best parenting community on the internet.
Check out What Fresh Hell, Laughing in the Face of Motherhood, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.
How do you feel about Like, what if I told you, you know, I have some kind of magic eight ball or crystal ball that says, oh, guess what? It's you're not actually destined to have a career in this, but it is something that you do volunteer work for or something like that. What would you think about that?
I think it would be great. That's something that's been tugging on my heart lately because I'm wondering, I don't think I'm meant to work in that line of work because there's such a high level of burnout. The criminal justice field right now, there's so many negative connotations and bad things going on in that field, which is why I don't want to join it right now due to personal safety and personal beliefs that I think volunteering might be the best.
Yeah. Well, the reason I was asking about your expectations, because from where I'm sitting and now that we've been talking for a little while here, what's sort of glaring at me, like I feel like the whatever was tapping me on the shoulder about 20 minutes ago has now moved into the corner of the room and is glaring at me and saying that what is probably happening for you, but again, I don't want to put words and feelings in your mouth, so please tell me if I'm, you know, on the mark or not at all. What might be happening is that just like everything, this is a season in your life. And at your core, you are inherently a motivated and driven woman. It's part of your personality, like at your very, very best. And you will have seasons of your life where you're just not. You're not motivated and you're not driven. And it doesn't mean anything is wrong. It just means that this is the season that you're in. And it's sort of like when you pull a rubber band back, you know, it's like in order to have that snap and that trajectory going forward, you have to pull the rubber band back. So what if this is just the time of your life? And it might be a year, it might be a handful of years where you're pulling that rubber band back.
Oh, that is such like a breath of fresh air to hear that and to even kind of process it that way, that this is just a season of my life, because as I, you know, get older, I don't want to be stuck in this place forever. So I would agree it probably just is a season of my life and I have to do my own inner work and inner healing probably a little bit more, as well as taking care of myself to be able to, you know, shoot myself forward and get that motivation and drive back.
Yeah, it seems to me that what might be happening, and I want to give you a little bit of a forewarning because I can already hear your inner critic like waking up from a nap and going like, oh, no. This no resting. No, this isn't the winter season for Hannah. And I want to just, you know, again, give you a heads up that might happen and that's normal. And no, you're not destined to be unmotivated forever. Anyone who goes to college for 6 years to study one thing isn't destined to just sit around and like, I don't know, you know, you're not going to be my age at 45 years old and be like still where you are today. From what it seems to me, like this is just almost your body and the universe and your guides and angels saying, hey, you know what? The last few years, maybe the last decade has been a lot, and let's rest for a little while so we can be the best version of ourselves a year from now or however long it takes.
Oh, I just love that. I think it's tough being in your 20s for anybody, being so driven and kind of pushing myself at such a young age and achieving so many goals that I had set for myself. I was go, go, go for years on end. I think sometimes it's hard to forget that I'm 25 and I don't think anybody in their 20s really knows what they're doing or totally what they want out of life. And I think I have to bring myself back to that perspective of I still have a hell of a lot of life to live and a lot of things to learn.
You do. And I like, if nothing else, I hope that you listen back to this part of the episode of what you just said, because that to me is your truest, wisest self of self speaking. And you're absolutely right. And I want to remind you that this time last year, when you had just turned 24, like that age for many is the beginning of their career, you know, especially if you went to college for something that you're passionate about, you start your career. And then guess what? We have a goddamn global pandemic, which none of us have experienced before. And I feel for you. You know, I had already, and many of us listening, we already had our careers established. And yes, many of us faced really difficult times, but we had a lot of working years behind us so that we could build up our skills and our experience and our network, et cetera, et cetera. You were just starting out. And I want to acknowledge that as being extremely difficult and traumatizing, and you absolutely deserve a break and a season of rest to be able to recalibrate.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. I definitely think I would agree with that. You know, the global pandemic was so hard on every single person. There's not one person that hasn't been affected, obviously myself included. So hearing that and kind of processing that, that starting your career in this time is tough. No, that's again a breath of fresh air for me.
Yeah. What does your journaling practice look like, if you have one at all?
You know, to be honest with you, I have not journaled in a couple of months, but I was very big on it probably for about the past 2 years. I would say like 2019, 2020, mm-hmm. every day or almost every day, whether it was like writing down 5 things I'm grateful for or trying to get any negative emotions out and writing out my feelings. But that's something I definitely have not been practicing lately.
Okay. I thought you were going to say 2 years, like just, if it's only been 2 months, like you're doing fantastic. I encourage you to journal on really anything that we've talked about, but especially this last section of what we've just been discussing about, you know, this being a season, this is your winter season. This is the season of rest for you and rejuvenation and recalibration and just see what comes up, just completely free journal, see what comes up, see if your perfectionism and inner critic have anything to say about it, because I definitely think it's important for us to sometimes give that voice so that we can see it for what it is and move past it. Do you think that you're in a place where you can do that with that perfectionism and inner critic voice?
Yes, most definitely.
Okay. Good. And I usually give a ton of homework on these calls into my clients. Not always. It really depends. But you are definitely someone that I'm going easy on. And it doesn't mean anything except like, this is where the conversation went. Like that's the whole point of you taking care of yourself. How are you feeling right now about what we've just talked about and the direction that we went?
You know, I think it feels great. I think we kind of are signed up to talk about certain things. Again, the conversation moves in other directions. And right. I really love that because it's a lot of self-awareness for me and realizing this is what I think the problem is, but here's what the actual problem might be and what I need to work on.
I think so too. And, you know, you said something interesting in your application. I don't remember. I don't know if you remember that you said this, but I like to ask people what kind of support do they thrive best with? And you said, I need a path forward and accountability. I don't need empathy, sympathy, or for someone to tell me it's going to be okay. I need help finding my desire to shine bright again. And I love that about you. And to me, and please again, tell me if I'm not right. But to me, that says like, that was your motivated voice, but that was also a little bit of inner critic saying like, no, the only answer is to push forward, to have a plan that is exactly what you want it to look like and someone lighting a fire under your ass to get it done, which by the way, I'm great at, but my intuition said that's not what's going to be of best service to you.
Huh, I guess I didn't think about even that. For me, I mean, I've gotten so much empathy and sympathy. My health issues this past year were very severe, and I have Crohn's disease. I've been relatively sick since I was 13 years old. And so I've gotten a lot of empathy and sympathy and people like, oh, you're going to be okay. And kind of like babying me. And like, I don't want that. But I do think maybe I could use a little more of that understanding and loving nature. Cause I think after dealing with it for so long or having people be so nice to me, I guess that kind of sounds weird, but to me, it's like, I don't want that. I want people to really push me forward and motivate me to do better because I know I can do better. Mm-hmm. And so I don't always think that empathy and sympathy gets me anywhere.
I invite you to journal about that. I think that could be like a whole different conversation for us to have. That's very interesting. And I wonder if you can find some kind of balance in your life where you are letting people take care of you, whatever that looks like. You know, you're essentially letting people love and connect with you, and at the same time, be the motivated and ambitious young woman that you are.
No, absolutely. This is such like a self-awareness, almost wake-up call. And I love having this conversation with you because I am a very all or nothing person. I'm either 100% or I'm nothing. So I absolutely love that. And I think it would be important for me to find that middle ground. So that is something I will journal about to dig a little deeper on.
Okay. Which is very common in so many people, so many women, is that dichotomous thinking of all or nothing. And honestly, what I help a lot of people do is find that gray area, that middle ground of what it might look like to have both, really, you know, and also get really curious when you are feeling uncomfortable of when people are taking care of you or asking how your health is. And, you know, do you get angry or resentful or irritated? And none of those feelings are wrong. They're just clues as to what's going on. Because what might be happening is you might have judgment around, you know, someone who does have chronic illness.
Yeah. And you know what? I can see that. I think, especially during the pandemic, I struggled a lot with, first, I was very, very scared. And then I kind of got over being scared because I was like, what is everybody so afraid of being sick of? Like, I've been sick for so long. And so I do see absolutely that judgment, because to me, after a while, I was like, I don't know, being sick isn't that bad. So I guess there's a sense of normalcy in that for me that isn't there for others. So I don't think my health has a big part to do with that emotional side of things and my emotional connection with others and how I want to be treated.
Yeah, I think that like another one of my invitations to you is exactly what I said, is to just get curious when you find yourself pushing one thing onto yourself. So what I mean by one thing, and it might be when you're pushing yourself to find the new motivation, or, you know, like you said, like insight as to why I used to have big dreams and I feel unmotivated, and why you feel that way about chronic illness. And it's just, again, it's just, and I know you mentioned that you wanted some new insights before we started talking, and curiosity, it does a few things. It helps you release any judgment that you have. I'm not saying it releases it completely. It helps you to release judgment you have around something, like a belief that you're holding onto, helps you release that. And then also helps you gain clarity just through the thought process or the journaling.
Oh, absolutely. And I think gaining that clarity is huge. And even this conversation reminds me of, you know, how much more I still can learn and how much more gentle I need to be with myself and how much more curious I need to be, because I love to figure out why I am the way I am. That's something I find fascinating. So it's very insightful.
Okay, good. All right. So here's what I have down for you for homework. You're going to reach out to your friends, Hannah and Courtney, with cards, handwritten cards, telling them how much they mean to you and whatever else it is that you want to write in there. And then hopefully the next step in that, when you get together with them, is talk about, you know, love languages, quote unquote, and ask how they like to be supported in their friendships. And they may have never have thought about it before. So then it becomes a conversation where you talk about, you know, you might talk about times where you've been betrayed by your friends, or you've been the betrayer. I think we've all, you know, had incidents where we've treated our friends not so well, and how you feel about that. And then also you're going to journal, you're going to do some journaling around this season of your life and resting.
Wonderful. I'm looking forward to completing those assignments and seeing what comes from it.
So this is what we'll do. We'll reach out in a couple of weeks and see how you're doing. And then I will give everyone an update so they can see your progress. That sound good?
Yeah, sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my dear. Awesome. All right. Be right back, everybody. Oh my gosh, I cannot emphasize enough how important standing still is. I think so many of you can relate with being high achieving and just kind of moving all the time and feeling like your worth is dependent on your productivity. And that's not true. Your worth is just your birthright. And at the same time, we need to slow down. We need to rest. No human can keep going like the Energizer Bunny constantly. That is not sustainable. So I hope this episode was helpful for you. Don't forget to head over to AndreaOwen.com/talk to leave us your stories of making noise. And remember, everyone, it's our life's journey to make ourselves better humans and our life's responsibility to make the world a better place. Bye for now.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.